This episode of Recap the Recap is brought to you by The Indeep Show, where you can find awesome shows such as, hey, The Indeep Show, Recap the Recap, The Un, Now My Glass, and Big B's Ride With Me. And don't forget, disagree to agree.
I feel another episode's coming real soon.
Me too. And also, if you would be so kind, ladies and gentlemen, to go to tweakedaudio.com and put in the code IDS, get yourself 33% off, free shipping worldwide, you can get yourself some awesome shit, and yeah, we appreciate it.
Guess what got closed in my car door?
Your earbud?
Guess what's on the way back to Tweaked Audio?
Your earbuds?
Damn right.
That's cool. Lifetime warranty, baby. Hey girl, hey. Hey boy, hey. Yeah, sucker. I said hey.
I thought I escaped that forever.
Nope. It's not going nowhere. Okay, let me start this off with please forgive me. Because I think I have what is a sinus infection. I'm not a doctor. But I kind of feel like I do. So, excuse me if I sound a little nasally. Oh, Lord.
What?
Please. Anyway. I am Queenine or Neen, whatever one you want to call me. I'm cool with it. The show is RTR, and you can find me at MS_SmartyPants with the Z. You can find the show at Recap the Recap on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email, it is recaptherecap@gmail.com. Can't make it any easier for you.
Mm-hmm. And so, I am your man. Big, you know what? I love when Lady Rose sends me little things and acknowledges that she understands that I am her man.
Big B.
Big B. I feel so warm. It's like taking a straight shot of XO. It warms you. It doesn't burn you. It warms you.
Or a nap in the bosom of a big busted lady.
Can we not speak about that right now?
Nope. We can go ahead. Keep it moving.
Anyway, I am your man, Big B. Accept it. Just open up and accept it. Just say to yourself, stand in front of the mirror and say to yourself, he is my man, Big B.
Shout out to our male listeners.
Absolutely, that's my man.
Yeah.
That's my motherfucking man, no doubt.
Okay, if you said it that way, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. You the one want to take it someplace else.
I'm just saying it how it is. Shout out to our male listeners.
There you go.
Who's going to stand in the mirror and be like,
15 word assassin, that's my motherfucking man.
He is my man, Big B.
Well, if you want to make our male listeners sound like gumps, then.
How's that a gump?
He is my man.
That is, I just repeated what you repeated.
Why can't our male listeners stand in front of the mirror and say, it's my man, Big B?
Okay, you didn't say it that way. But you're right. Why can't they?
You know what I'm saying?
Why can't they? Hey, male listeners. Hey. Hey. So, anywho.
Except for that one show.
Okay. We shall forever and so forth. Remain on the bottom of my shoe. Anywho, there has been some awesome shit happening in the news, Big B. My man, Big B.
Oh,
ow, damn, that does not feel
that's
great.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that does not feel awesome.
This is not meant to do with
boobies.
Anything above a
anyway,
D cup.
Okay. So anyway, like I was saying, this has been
Lord,
the best
I ain't
week
even finished
ever.
Telling the people where they can get at me and okay. All that good shit.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Your intro was so long, I kind of thought you already said
That's
it.
That's what she said.
Go ahead.
And you can find me
stroking them Twitter streets.
Annoying everything double D and above on the Twitter sphere at In Deep Show B.
Spell it out.
That's it. Spell it out. Do what you gotta do.
Neat.
Get the dictionary. Google. All that good shit. Google, that's it.
In Deep Show B.
Yeah.
You need a dictionary.
See what comes
and
up.
Google.
See what comes. Look, I'm worldwide.
Hi, the player.
Now, you were saying.
I was saying, to borrow from the Washington Post, this seems like this is like the best week ever. Because there has been so many awesome things that have happened in the news. I mean, just yesterday, Bree Newsom from North Carolina, she climbed up a 30-foot steel flagpole. Actually, that was just after dawn, it says. And took down the goddamn Confederate flag that flies above the South Carolina State House. Do that
many,
damn thing.
How many racist redneck people are going to describe that somewhat monumental scene as she scaled that pole like a monkey?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's out there too. But you know, we're not going to focus on them assholes,
ma'am.
Those as people have been
come
saying,
down off the pole.
Those asshats,
ma'am.
Yeah, if you watch the video, yeah, you can hear somebody in the. Although they said very calmly, she was like, "You know what? Nope, not today. I'm going all the way up and removing this motherfucker." Okay. So she went all the way up there. It was her and James Tyson that helped her. He stood at the bottom, and he, you know, watched over her as she climbed to the top, got that flag down, and she was like, "I'm coming down. I will be peaceful. I know I will be arrested, but the whole way down, you know," she was quoting, you know, Bible scriptures and, you know, talking about God, and, you know, I'm just like, salute.
And I know how she feels, because I remember doing shit that I wasn't supposed to do, and that walk home, knowing what my mama was going to do to me when I got in arm's reach, I started doing scriptures too.
This is bigger than her mama, though.
I understand.
I mean, not trying to be funny, though.
As a kid, is nothing.
No, I got you. I got you as a kid.
Bigger than this world than my mama.
But I watched
ass whooping that she was
this morning when I first started hearing about her. Of course, where do you get your news source? Twitter.
Not the sauces?
No, not the sauces. Not today. Not the sauces. And I looked and I was like, oh, who is Bree? You know, and I went to her Twitter page and I saw she had like 4,000 something followers. And it was like 4,000, like, let's say 100 and something followers. I looked right before we start taping. Now she is at 30,000 followers because, you know, people believe in her. And people have been retweeting and talking about her all day. And, you know, they even have the, of course, you have to have hashtags. So it's hashtag take it down, hashtag keep it down, hashtag free Bree, and even hashtag free James. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, James Tyson, he's a white guy. You know, so as somebody put on Twitter, they said that, I think it's April. She, you know, was just saying that people of color, you know, you can do things and be our ally. You know, and you don't have to be a Rachel Dolezal to do it. She didn't say that part. I added that part. But, you know, he was there. He was supporting her. And he knew also that he would be arrested. They both knew that they would be arrested. And they already had their attorneys and everybody working. And, you know, to just watch on Twitter, you know, some people were really genuine. And they said that they were willing to help her with bail money or help her with, you know, legal fees or whatever it was she needed. And some people just threw that shit out there because it was popular, but I digress. So it's a possibility for, they call it defacing monuments on state capitol grounds. So it's a misdemeanor, but it can carry a fine up to $5,000 and a prison term for up to 3 years. So, you know.
I want you to, on our handy dandy whiteboard there, write today's date and write how many Twitter followers she has. Mm-hmm. And check that in 2-3 months.
Why?
See if it hasn't plummeted significantly.
I don't think it'll plummet.
Can we put something on it?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. How much?
And not back to where it was. Like I said, it went from 4 to 30.
I didn't say anything about back to where it was. I said plummet significantly.
I mean, everybody loses followers, you know, at some point. If you don't follow people back,
okay, so she went from lose how many to how many?
4 to 30.
4,000 to 30,000?
Yes.
Okay. I would say within 3, well, no, because people are lazy. They're not going to go clear out their Twitter pages. What time frame do you want to give it?
I don't know. What time frame do you want to give? This is your bet.
Let's give it 3 months.
Okay.
You say she's at 30?
Right this very second. It's probably more than that by now, I bet.
Okay. Well, we're gonna look at the numbers.
Okay.
And I'd say she's going to lose a good percentage of it.
What's a good percentage?
Let's say if she was at 30, I would say she would probably be closer to 20.
Why do you think she's going to lose followers versus gain? Because she's also like a singer, a songwriter, and freedom fighter, as they're called. So why do you think she's going to lose?
I mean, it's like most things. I mean, just like the reason why everybody's jumping on her page now. It's hot. It's trendy. It's the thing to do. Let's find out about this chick. And once you find out about her, like, okay.
So she's at 35, almost 36,000. And that was just an hour ago. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. So she also did an email statement to the media. And it said, we removed the flag today because we can't wait any longer. We can't continue like this another day. It's time for a new chapter where we are sincere about dismantling white supremacy and building toward true racial justice and equality. So, we shall see.
How do you feel about the whole flag thing?
I'm like, I think if it bothers people, you should take it down. I mean, what... I don't understand the problem. If you want to still do it and post it on your house or, you know, which I think is some bullshit, but I mean, if you want to still fly that flag by your house, inside your house, whatever. But I think for something like a state capitol building, it should not be there. You know, I know it went from, I think, closer to like to the memorial, to the monument for the Confederate, but you still have the monuments or the statues, whatever the hell you want to call them. So I'm like, just take it down. You know how the history and what it means to people. Take it down. It's not that hard.
Okay. What do you think that even if they do take it down and people on a individual basis say, you know what? Either that's not what the flag meant to me, or that is what the flag meant to me, and I'm just going to fly it from my house, like you said. Mm-hmm. You don't think that has the ramifications of bringing a quicker demise of relationships? Like if you can drive down the street and say, okay, this house, this house, this house, this house, this house, this house, not this one, not this one, not this one. And kind of you can, whereas when it was not so much an issue, people didn't have to.
It's always been an issue.
Not, okay, but it hasn't been as inflammatory as it's been since the Charleston shooting. It's just like the Redskins' name. It comes in waves. It comes, it goes away for a while. It comes, it goes away. When I say goes away from national coverage daily, but hourly.
Everything goes away.
Exactly.
Back.
So thank you for agreeing with me.
So it is the ebb and flow of the news cycle. But right. I don't live in Charleston, so I don't know what it feels like to live there. Or I don't even live in certain parts of Virginia or certain parts in the South or wherever where that flag is being, you know, flown or worn on a belt buckle or whatever every day. But, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to understand your question.
And let me finish. We'll get you there. So you don't think that on a individual level that would bring about maybe a quicker demise in relationships is what I'm saying, as opposed to
what relationships?
That's where I was going next. As opposed to where it was flying on the Capitol building or whatever, and everyone was just appreciative, like, okay, there's a flex or whatever, whatever. But now everyone on an individual basis has to make it clear of where they're standing because maybe they want to defend the flag now. So I'm going to put it on my house, and I'm going to put it on my neighbor and this person and that person. And now you can literally look down the street and see where everyone stands, as opposed to maybe before, where maybe people weren't going out of their way to fly it, the flag at their house. And you could probably drive down the street and, I guess, sort of not knowing, you know what I'm saying? Without it being in your face, it's not so much of a thing.
I feel like the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know. So,
and while that may be true.
So I'm sorry, you weren't done with your question.
And while that may be true, so with that being said, my whole thing is it happening quicker. Mm-hmm. And so now that you know this devil, are you, you know, where you might have gotten out your car yesterday and been like, hey, Ms. Johnson, now the flag's out there. Oh, that's how she going? Fuck that bitch. I ain't speaking to her.
You know, to be honest with you, I really feel like that's been happening, period. Like, because, I mean, if you pay attention to Facebook, and not you, but people in general, if you pay attention to Facebook, there's been lines that have been drawn for the last couple months or 2 years, or probably even longer, where it's like you thought you knew someone, mm-hmm. and then they put up a post about something, and then it's like, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
I thought this person was cool, and then next thing you know, I find out they're an asshole or they're a racist asshole. You right. know what I'm saying? You can be an asshole and we can still be cool, but when you become a racist asshole, that's different, you know. And that comes from, that's from, for anybody, because I've seen people, you know, put up shit and it's been like white people going for the side of the person who's put it up, a post up that was, you know, racially charged. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen black people go for, of course, against, but I've also seen black people go for, you know, hey, this is my friend. I mean, think about the dude in South Carolina. He had the one black friend that was like, well, he was my friend and we used to drink together. Mm-hmm. He was really cool, you know? So it's like, okay, wait, what? But this has been going on for a while. Like I had a post that was like unfriend, unfollow, you know, block, do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, this is where you start to see who people really are. Because I don't want to be cool with Mrs. Johnson across the street or wherever if I know she hates black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I remember being in ninth grade and my friend, who was white at the time, but had a little, you know, chocolate undertones of her whiteness. Not Rachel Dolezal chocolate, but, you know, she liked the whole black culture, black thing, you know, hair, whatever. But her mom was prejudiced. Didn't like black people. But of course, you know, but I was okay. First of all, I was okay for her because I was a girl. You know, so I was okay. But fast forward 20 something years, my friend ended up marrying a black man and had kids by this black man, and they're still married today. But it's still funny that it's like, damn, you know, this girl was my homie, but yet her mom hated black people, you know? And so it's like, I would rather know you don't like me than to think this whole time I'm like, do, you know, me and Miss Johnson are cool. And Miss Johnson is all the time going, you motherfucker, decker, boo boo, monkey, blah, blah, blah. Like, I would rather know that. So I'm like, you know, and being in the United States of America, the most awesome thing about us, freedom of speech. You can do and say whatever you want, but with the understanding that there's going to be some consequences to the shit that you do. Absolutely. Or the shit that you say. Look on Twitter. You had the one little white girl that was talking about, oh, if you don't like it, you know, go back to your country. You guys shouldn't come over here knowing you would be the minority. First of all, we need to fix our school education system because that bitch is dumb. But second of all, then you're going to be stupid enough to wear the company shirt that you work for. No one Twitter is out there. Black Twitter is going to get you. You know that. You know, so she ended up getting fired. You know, so I'm just saying, so you have to be ready for all the shit that comes with it.
And you make good points, especially the one about the analogy with social media and sure. You know, seeing people's comments. Uh-huh. But I guess, again, to my point, and I don't think it's a so much a debate thing. I guess in a sense, are you agreeing with me that it's going to, whatever, for better or for worse, going to bring about a sort of a divide with the flags being now, it's whereas, okay, for instance, let's say, I don't even know if it exists or something. Let's say there's the Dixie Pride Weekend or something, sure, and everyone throws their flags up that week, and it's whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with the exception of that, isn't now, like all of a sudden, if you just start seeing these flags pop up in your neighborhood, isn't it going to make you sort of like, oh, okay, I see where you stand now, motherfucker. And you know what I'm saying? Whereas if you had questions about that person,
you're saying you used to coexist.
Exactly. You're not saying that y'all was boys and going to have beers and sharing recipes and shit.
But we can still coexist as long as you don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you.
I can dig it, but you know what I'm just saying? I'm just saying the with it now being in sort of in your face, like, you know what? Y'all niggas want a beef, I'm putting my, you know, y'all can take it off the state building, but you can't take it out my yard.
Well, and
isn't that going to just, I guess, just automatically human nature make you feel like, oh, that's how you going to go, motherfucker, then fuck you. And now you have that divide on that block.
But again, I think it depends on where you live. I think that divide was always there, you know. But of course, you know, with news and with media and everything, I mean, stuff gets pushed out.
But it's just like you said, with the social media.
But stuff gets pushed out further. When all this stuff was probably already happening, but I don't live in Charleston, so I don't know what is happening on the news daily in Charleston, unless it's something that becomes national news. You know, just like people get killed every day, all day, in all of our states. You know what I mean? And it's like, but I don't know about that particular killing because it's not national news, and I don't live in that particular state. So I don't know what the people of Charleston, or again, certain parts of Virginia, I don't know what people have been going through, you know, with this flag, you know, because, I mean, keep it real. In D.C., I don't really see it. And I've been able to, I guess, maybe go into some certain kumbaya kind of bliss that, you know, especially coming from the high school that I went to, you know, it was so many different races and everything that was in that school that I was able to just, you know, we were all able to get along. I'm not saying that there weren't people in there that were like, I don't like this race. Ooh, I don't like that race. But if I did know that there was a certain person in my school that didn't like, let's say, black people or didn't like Latino people or Asian people or whatever, it would have been very interesting and nice to know. One, because it was my school, so it would have probably, with me, I would probably would have talked to them and would have had to ask them why, like, what is it you think and why do you feel this way and da-da-da-da-da, you know, just out of curiosity for me, you know. But with the people that you're talking about, I'm sure it's going to cause some problems, you know. I mean, and all that shit is coming, I think, you know. I feel like something else is going to happen, unfortunately. And, you know, and hopefully it goes the other way where, you know, we can all become one and, I, like I said, get the whole kumbaya shit going. But I don't feel like that's going to happen. I feel like something else is going to happen. And it may have something to do with the Confederate flag. Like I saw something in the news yesterday that said, like, Amazon sales of the Confederate flag went up like 1,000+%. You know, because everybody's trying to do a run on the Confederate flag shit before, you know, they stop selling it. You know, because, like, Walmart has stopped selling it. Or should I say, shout out to Shebe, Walmart's. They're going to stop selling them. you know, I mean, you have a whole bunch of people. I forgot the other people that said that, you know, places that said they're going to stop selling it. So, yeah, there's going to be a huge run on it. You know, put the flag out front. Live with the consequences.
I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Using all of the analogies that you've given me with social media, with the people in your high school, what have you, I'm sure you didn't walk around with your head in a cloud thinking that no one in this school is racist. I'm sure you knew someone in that school was racist.
I didn't know anybody that was...
I didn't say you didn't know anyone specifically.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I'm sure you didn't think that there wasn't anyone. I'm sure you felt at least one person in this school might be racist.
Wasn't a thought in my mind.
Okay. Well, maybe you were walking around with your heads in the cloud.
If that's what you want to call it, sure. Okay, let's go.
But what I'm saying is, I guess when it's put in your face for you to deal with, as opposed to the feeling of, it could be, it's possible, when it's actually put in your face to deal with, I think your reaction is a little bit more immediate and a bit stronger. For instance, let's go with the whole Cristal thing. Everybody, all the people was popping bottles of Crystal. Everybody want Crystal. As soon as you find out Cristal don't want black people drinking this shit, oh, now it's in your face. So now it's an immediate problem to deal with.
But there, I mean, if you want to get so cut and dry with it, there, I mean, what about like child labor laws in what, China, or whoever makes Nike, or whoever makes Adidas, or whoever makes the clothes that you wear, that, you know, there's children making your clothes that are only making like what, 2 cents, 3 cents, 5, 15 cents. So then what? I mean, we can go on broad topics.
I mean, I'm sure we can branch out in 1,000 directions, yeah, but I'm just trying to get a conclusion to the thought that I'm having. Mm-hmm. That while I understand and I agree the push to get the flag taken down and everything, and I'm not discounting that at all, mm-hmm, I'm just, I guess, sort of looking to tomorrow when everyone, and like you just confirmed, there's been a run on those flags. Well, people not, sure, buying those flags to tuck them away in their dressers.
No, they've already put that flag down that Bree took down. They put that shit back up. And it was two black people that had to put it back up.
Okay, but again, these people, all these people buying these flags are going to fly them.
Okay.
And when they fly them, I just feel like it's going to be a quicker, like, I just feel it's going to be a quicker divide or a quicker, you know, recognition of, okay, you know what's going on right now, and this is what you choose to do. Thank you for letting me know exactly where you stand, you racist motherfucker. Fuck you. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, you might have just drove past yesterday and just waved, hey, how you doing, bye, whatever. That's all I'm saying. It's not, I don't think it warranted the amount of debate that it has gotten. I feel like it's a human nature thing that it's going to happen. I think the taking down of the flag is going to ramp up more ground level headbutting, for lack of a better word, between people, because again, where I may not have never had that flag on my house, but I know when I drove to work every day, I saw it flying at the state capitol and I gave it a wink and a nod as I drove past. Oh, now y'all want to take my flag down? I can't give my wink and nod. Well, I'm going to put this bitch on my house.
You being a punk, why didn't you put this shit on your house in the first place? If you felt that strong about that flag, why didn't you put it on your house?
Again, because now, again, we're at that point, like I said, where the roller coaster, we're at one of those high points where it's getting a lot of attention. And so now it's again, it's in everybody's you know, it's in everybody's TV, it's in everybody's radio.
It's always in, been, but just like the news.
I'm not debating on whether we don't talk about it. Just like, again, just like the Redskin thing, it's not that we don't ever stop talking about it. It's just not as mainstream as it is right now. Right now, it's on every topic, on every station, whatever.
That's called news.
I understand that's called.
That's the way they do it. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that as well.
But again,
say this Charleston thing would have never happened, and it was nice and quiet, and in the dead of night, you know, South Carolina government said, you know what, let's just take the flags down. And they just lowered their motherfuckers.
That would be
and
news.
It would have been news.
Yeah, that would be news.
It would have been news, but it would have been on a less inflammatory level
I think people still would have been pissed
off. It would have been the other side being more pissed off saying put it back up, but it wouldn't be our side take it down.
So, okay, so what I think I hear what you're saying is that just because this is in the news, all of a sudden, like, Black people and people like that of the same ilk are up in arms because the 9 people in Charleston got killed and it's in the news. So if had none of this shit happened, nobody would be talking about it.
Right. Had this not been at a point where it's so inflammatory and such a hot button issue, it would have been news because it would have been monumental and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't think it would.
But see, that's the thing. I think there are people that have been still fighting. It may have been
absolutely. I agree with you. It may have been
in the background.
But
there are people that have still been fighting and trying to do this and get it down. Just like the people in Baltimore, where people were getting upset about people, you know, going and burning down buildings and breaking windows and shit like that. They kind of felt like, you know what? Unless I make a, you know, big monumental type gesture, you know, like with Bree climbing up that pole and taking it down, because they had already said that they were going to take it down. So with her climbing up there and taking it down, it kind of course, you know, made it more newsworthy, of course. But, you know, I think sometimes people feel like, hey, man, I got to make a lot more noise to get shit done, because if I don't, it won't happen. But I do think there were people in the background trying to get this thing
done. And I'm not debating that one bit.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. So, yeah, that was long. So let's move on to something super awesome. Well, at least I hope this is, I don't know where this is going to go, but super awesome. So the Supreme Court yesterday ruled 5-4 that it is legal for all Americans, for everybody, no matter what your sexual orientation is, no matter your gender, for everybody to get married. Hashtag love wins. So it was Justice Anthony Kennedy, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor, that they voted towards everybody can get married. It's no longer, hey, gay marriage. It is marriage. And I think that's pretty awesome. So, hey, let love rule. And good luck. Good luck, people.
I'm going to reserve my comments because I have to be careful about what I say, because there are judgy people out there.
So the whole just debate we had, now you got a reserve comment? Okay.
If you think back to conversations we've had.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know how the correct pronunciation of this person's name, but what is it? Okay. I don't know what it is. I don't want to mess up his name, but let's just go with Jim versus Hodges. And he and his spouse, you know, his spouse was ill from ALS. And so, you know, they wanted to get married and it had to have it be legal in case, you know, there was anything that, you know, Jim had to, you know, he wanted to be listed as the living spouse on his husband's death certificate. So, you know, if he needed to take care of anything. So, you know, they went to the Supreme Court and they fought it and they won. And so now everybody has the right to be married. So, again, we're not calling it gay marriage anymore. We're just calling it marriage all across the board. So,
well, congratulations to them. I mean, it's been a definite hard fought topic
for years. And of course, you know, it'll be interesting because all of the GOP candidates are coming out and they're like, oh, we're mad about it. Rawr. So we'll see how, you know, how the whole presidential election that's coming up soon will take place. So
I'm sorry you missed my joke about my non-comment.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
It was a joke that you missed.
Okay, my bad. All right. I mean, I figured you said it for a reason, but sorry. Okay. Anyway, so to our president, President Obama, and going back to the best week ever, I kind of derailed it a little bit, but we're going to bring it back to him. So he's having the best week ever because, you know, Obamacare, or we know it's really called the Affordable Care Act. Finally, they let go and they passed it. So we know people who are low income and middle income, they're going to be able to use Obamacare. You know, and it's not going to be a problem for now. You know, and I do know someone that actually has Obamacare, and they are very happy that they have it because they didn't have insurance before. And so this is working for them, you know, and she had medical issues. And so the great thing is now she can go and get them taken care of and not have like $1 billion, you know, medical bill at the end. So very happy for her. So very happy for that. And like I said, just a little bit ago, you know, marriage for everyone is now upheld in a court of law. And so going back to Charleston, so our president also did, you know, he broke out singing Amazing Grace in the AME church that they had the funeral for, what is it, Clementa Pinckney. So did you get to hear that, him sing it?
No.
Okay, you have to go check it out. So that was really cool, you know, just to hear him sing it. I mean, you know, he has an interesting singing voice, but I thought it just, you know, I don't know if that was off the cusp or if that was something written or whatever, because, you know, that whole Marc Maron thing, like using the N-word, or saying nigger, what am I saying, using the N-word, people feel like that was written into you know, his, I won't say speech, but written into the interview with him. I'm not going to go back and forth on that because I don't really know. But
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm with. Okay, good. I'm with you.
I don't. But I really feel like
you think it was off the cusp.
I feel like this is. I mean, I know most people joke about this with this being, you know, sort of his end of his term,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to start cutting loose. I think this is just part of. You know what? I'm on the way out.
Right. Suck it.
And say a couple more things that y'all probably not going to be comfortable with either.
Yeah. So I just thought it was really cool because it was like, yeah, I agree with that. He, you know, started singing Amazing Grace and the whole church, you know, joined in with him on singing it too. And I think people behind him looked like, whoa. And, you know, so I thought it was really cool. So anyway, nice. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back.
Cop says, what can I do? I build a destroy, doing what I can, cause you see I be a b-boy, taking it to the future, I execute you if I have to. You can stand still like a statue, wondering what's going on, like Marvin, I start to carve in my own spot, a man royal make me hot, but we say cold in the go, the brother common sense never stop with the flow, my flow keeps going on and on and on. I like to do it cause I'm deep in the pawns and I'm not the type to beat like that, but when it comes to the empire, yo I strike back, yo I like fat rap, I might be that type of I like to spit on the grave of those.
Hey, Robert Glasper, how you doing, bud? When you gonna record one of my songs, huh? You big knucklehead.
I'm not afraid to
Welcome back. Recap the recap, Miami Man Big B, with your girl, Queen Nene. It is that time that we like to do a review of another show. We will bring it to you, break it down, give our opinions, invite you to give yours, and definitely invite you to check them out or don't. Queenie, if you will, give the particulars of today's events.
Okay. Let's see. So this podcast, their description goes as follows. What do you get when you cross a self-proclaimed philosopher, an ADD sufferer, and a guy that likes to keep everything on the surface? Chaos! They argue, fight, and then figure out a way to agree in the end. No matter what, they give you the sometimes moronic, mostly ironic perspectives of today's topics. Comedy, life, blackness, irony. So today's podcast is the No Nonsense Show. And it features Jamie Mack, Jay Smooth, and Be Honest. And so far they have 93 episodes, and it looks like they tape once or twice a week. And it is the No Nonsense, it is nononsenseshow.com or at No Nonsense Show on Twitter. So I'm going to start out today, and I'm doing episode 90. And it is There Are No Advantages in Pretending to Be Black. And I know, you know, we've talked about the whole Rachel Dolezal topic a little bit. And, you know, as news cycles go, Rachel's starting to fade, no pun intended, to black. But, you know, these are some clips from their show that I found a little bit interesting. And, all right, B, play the first one.
My issue is that, man, Rachel has done more black stuff than a lot of black. Matter of fact, probably more than individually. I'm not sure if all of us in this table have done more than her by ourselves for the black cause.
And now
like,
she's
we,
no more.
Like, if we collectively put ourselves together, we might have her. Maybe. It'd be a tough race. But individually, she trumped all of us. Like, she got an African studies bachelor and a master. I mean, give me a break. She teaches African studies.
That's what you have to do when you're trying to master the craft, you know? Like, if I was trying to be a white woman, I would probably do the same.
But she's doing it, though. Like, she did it. So I don't know if it's the ridicule is bothering me. But, I mean, of course, she can't be a leader. Because she's crazy to think that she could completely change her identity.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know some of... Well, I don't know. I'm going to hope a little bit of that was tongue-in-cheek, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's so funny how I hear everybody saying, oh, Rachel has done so much for the black community. She's done so much for the black community. I have yet to hear what the hell Rachel actually did. I mean, what has she done? I mean, she very well could have done more than them. She very well could have done more than me. But what has she done?
I mean, to me, it's sort of the, and this might be a bad analogy, but it might be the equivalent of a single office worker in the government that is like 60 cubicles in that one office. And she says, I've done so much for the government just because I work there.
Right.
You worked there, Strong Jay.
Not Strong Jay.
But, nah, there was like 60 of y'all. Y'all right. Got that work done.
Hey, man, I got that. When I mentioned getting a bonus, they were like, hey, wasn't like you just did the work. There was a whole bunch of other people that were on that contract with you. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, then. Very well.
But
touche.
I do take my hat off to them, as I have in a couple shows that I've listened to.
Mm-hmm.
For putting it on the table.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know. There was, and that's why, like I said, I know this Rachel topic is getting a little old, but I chose this episode because I thought they had very interesting conversation, mm-hmm. you know, throughout this episode. So, and then the next clip, they actually had some guests on the show, and the young lady you heard was one of the guests, but then, so there was two. Mm-hmm. So let's hear her break it down a little bit more. For the gentleman.
Okay. I'll try not to blow your eardrums out this time.
Thank you.
I'm willing to accept some of the lies based on that. Like, she didn't ask for the white privilege. People are saying like she's got the white privilege. What white privilege? She gave that up. She forfeited that.
You don't
privilege.
Think she flip flopped when ain't no one looking?
I don't know. See, I think that that's what's...
Who doesn't?
I think that's what's wrong about it. The fact that she's trying to be something that she clearly doesn't understand. It's like, as a child, you didn't go through what little black children went through. You weren't really discriminated against. You chose to take this on, so how dare you try to act like you understand when it's something that you choose to go through. At the end of the day, she can wash out her perm and not get tanned, and there she goes right back to white privilege. But we have to live this life every day.
So you're saying it's not fair?
No, it's not fair.
She can't go back to white that quick because when she said she was black, her credit score dropped and her bank account, she got insufficient funds. And shit going on the bank account. You know what I'm saying? That's Harris Black, right? So it's gonna take her a minute to get her credit shit back together like everybody else. You gotta pay that shit. So if she gonna look and act like she black, they be like, shit, I got fucked up credit like the next person.
I think
I mean, well, okay. We don't all have fucked up credit, but you know. But I thought that was funny. But But just an interesting clip in a different, you know, in a different perspective to counter, you know, their whole conversation about Rachel, that it's like, hey man, you know, fine, you want to assimilate yourself in black culture, do that. That's cool, but you don't have to change everything. And, you know, the minute something don't go your way, the next thing you know, you can easily go back to being a white lady, you know? Like before she transitioned, we talked about this on IDS, before she transitioned into being a quote unquote black woman, you know, she was white and went to Howard and things didn't go her way. And she decided to sue Howard, which she lost the case. And, you know, and the next thing you know, she had to pay some money back for that case. But it's like, so it was cool, as I said before, it was cool when you were white. But now being black, it's a whole nother game, dude.
Let me ask you a question, Craig. I know this is the review portion, but just a question popped in my mind. If she would have been forthright and just came out and just like, you know, I'm a white woman, but these are my beliefs. This is where I stand. This is the cause that I want to take up a fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we would have been accepting of her? Because I think you even made mention on the show that there are people that are white people that work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure, part of the struggle, and
exactly.
Are down for the whole NAACP cause, or down for the cause.
Do you think we would have been accepting of her, or would we have sort of given her a seal, like, okay, we'll appreciate your help, but you ain't getting past this point right here?
I think it depends on how she handled it. Like, just like the whole what I was just reading about Bree and her taking down the flag. Jane stood at the bottom of the pole and was helping her. Mm-hmm. You know. So we know there are people out there that are our allies,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are white and, you know, Latino and, you know, Asian or whatever. We know that they're our allies, but they don't have to perpetrate being somebody that they're not just to help us, you know? Right. So I think that she probably could have gotten far, you know? I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Spokane, so I don't know what the population, you know, of black to white or whatever is there, but you know, I think she could have gotten far, you know, being herself, you know. I mean, as they went on to say in the show, you know, she got a, she went to Howard, she got a degree in African studies. And so she knew, or she knows the culture,
right?
You know, and I think she could still know the culture and be part of our culture and be part of, you know, what we stand for and what we try to do, you know, on a daily basis as a white lady. Because, I mean, they used to call them, what, abolitionists back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know? So, okay. So now, okay, before I get started, and I keep going, I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Span. He answered from the Span Report. He answered on show 93. He talked about the whole Rachel thing, too. So, and they played it on there. So if you get a chance, go to their episode 93 and listen. Well, listen to the whole episode, but listen to the part that Mr. Span talked about as well. Okay, the next clip is a little long, but I enjoy it that they go further in depth and they break it down a little bit further for everybody.
Yeah. But look though, Mary Jane, so here's the thing, and this is probably going to touch a lot of nerves, but there are people who are making the argument that black women who get their hair permed is them doing the same type of thing, but just on a smaller scale. So, I mean, like, there's an argument on both sides as to being who you are, not being who you are, and how important that is, and what things are qualify as being going too far, and what things, oh, that's accepted because we've been doing it so long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, and that I did see an argument of that, and it right. pisses me off because on the other side of that, you have white women that tan. It's not that they're denying who they are. They just want to look a little bit more golden. So, you know, because we perm my hair, I mean, hell, I've tried to go natural. This shit gets kinky. So I can go home out. I want some perm up in here.
But what I'm saying is, in her mind, it's kinky being white. That's all it is. It's kinky walking around as Laura Ingalls. I would much rather be.
But on an everyday basis, if I perm my hair, if I put my weave in, if I get my false lashes, whatever it is I do, I'm always going to portray myself as a black woman. I'm not going to say to anyone, oh, look, I got this shiny hair, y'all, and it's flowing, and guess what? I'm white today. No, I'm Black Mary Jane.
But isn't that just one less detail, though? The only detail you missed was that you're not white. Everything else, you did allow those. You see what I'm saying? It's basically like the line is in the sand. We just move that line when it's convenient.
Okay, well, let me say this. I agree with you.
Okay. Well, not to cut her off, but the clip was already really long. But so the young lady goes on to further talk about, you know, being natural and how she equates it with loving yourself and embracing yourself. You know, interesting point she makes, but don't agree with it. But an interesting point nonetheless. But yeah, I mean, I think it is a thing of just like, just because you may put relaxer in your hair, and people know that I've said it before on the show or on IDS that my hair is relaxed. It's relaxed because that's more manageable for me. You know, I know for me personally, like, I can't deal with natural hair. That would be just a lot of work for me. So, and I think that if you just, you know, if you decide to go natural, I think that's super awesome. You know, but if you decide to be relaxed, or wear a relaxer in your hair, that shouldn't take away from anything or you know, or who you are. Like she said, it doesn't change your blackness. You still walk around and you're black, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so, anyway, that was my two cents on this episode.
No doubt. I, you know, I listened to another show and, besides everything else that they had to say, there was this one part that just kind of, I guess, stuck out for me because it's something that I kind of have felt sort of from the beginning and for a long time. And, you know, coming to find out that some of the information that they spoke about wasn't 100% accurate, but I still think, even beyond that, I think the sentiment is still sort of lies within me of what they're talking about, with some of my concerns for this certain group. So I'll go ahead and play the clip.
I was expecting Jay Smooth to say something stupid because he always has something to say. What really pisses me off, man, is that, you know how we've talked about black people not getting along. In fact, Jamie Mack, that was one of the reasons why.
And let me caution, this was a long segment, so, you know, I did do a cut to kind of put a couple pieces together, so this isn't directly as played, it wasn't said directly as played, so I just want to put that out there.
Why you wouldn't move to the black community if we ever had one.
Right.
So, I'm part of this group called Black Podcasters United on Facebook, and, I mean, the title says it all, Black Podcasters United.
Okay.
So what would you assume that this group is about?
Black Panthers.
Revolution. No, I would say it's about, you know, black people creating podcasts and, you know, sharing ideas and using this as a resource.
And coming together as one, I guess.
Yeah, you're coming together. You, I mean, the last word should say united, right?
Right.
Okay, so over, I guess, the Rachel Dolezal, or however you say her name.
Dolezal.
Whatever. Over that issue, it got so divided in that group.
Really?
At the end of last week. Yeah. People were like really offended by the fact that everybody wasn't so pissed off about it. I understand that people have differences of opinion. And, you know, that's okay to me though. But it seemed like there were some people, and I don't know a lot of these people, but it just seemed like they were really taking it to heart. There was one guy who has a show, and he made a statement that had to do with the Charleston shooting.
Wow.
And I guess he was saying that that's more important, but some black women on there felt like that was a stab at black women, and then started telling him he hated black women. And I mean, like, I think there may have been more. Like, one of the girls was saying that, like, you don't know what he said to me about, you know, his misogynistic ways. And like, they were like, really, it was like a 30 hour argument.
And it was three girls against this dude.
Tony
Sotomayor that don't like black women?
No, you know? The guy who said the statement never even commented again.
Oh,
right. It was like other people arguing. But it got so heated to the point where people were saying, don't listen to this guy's show. Don't donate money to his cause. Don't do this. He hates black women. Like, it got really deep. And this is in the Black Podcasters United group. Mm.
Okay. Before you start, yeah, I just want to say, on their latest episode, they did play, again, I go back to Mr. Span, who kind of corrected them, mm-hmm, or gently... No, he corrected them. I'm kidding. He corrected them and told them that did not happen. First of all, BPU is closed, a closed group. But there is a BPU fan page. Please go there and like it. That happened in the BPU forum, and it did not. It happened on the individual's page, on their personal FB page. And then that whole conversation ensued, or that whole thread ensued. And there was a whole bunch of shit that went back and forth. And, you know, so... but, you know, like Mr. Span said, you have a group of people, you know, be it white, black, whatever. We're not going to all agree on the same topic just because we have the one commonality that we're black. We're not going to all agree on everything, you know. But anyway.
I mean, I agree. I don't know. say what you want about me. I really don't care. But I just, from the onset of this BPU, and again, I do understand that it did not take place there, but these are the kind of things that just kind of I watch from a very far distance. Hell, you tell me more about what's going on there than I actually witnessed myself, but this is probably the reason why, because I don't know. I just kind of feel that people are more interested in being catty than having a point sometimes. And if you're going to make a point and you have pertinent information to make your point, but you can't because it'll drop a bomb or whatever. I'm not gonna say what X person said, but I know them to be this. Well, how about just shutting up then? If you're not gonna say it, spare us all. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, I do realize this did not happen in BPU, you know, but these are just the things that concern me about it. And just looking at some of the people in it.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, I think the whole purpose of it was just to learn, you know, to get some education.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, again, you have a group of people. Sometimes shit is going to go left when you automatically think it's going to go right. That's just nature of
absolutely
the beast. So. Anyway, okay. So, again, the show is called The No Nonsense Show. And you could find it at nononsenseshow.com or at nononsenseshow on Twitter. Okay? And we will be right back. We're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to talk about what we thought about the show and our ratings.
Yes, we will.
We'll be right back.
now we are at the portion of the show where we talk about, you know, what we think and give a rating. So I'm going to make mine easy. I think the show production is really great. And they seem so far to be consistent. I mean, for 93 shows, they seem to be very consistent. And I like the fact that, you know, they knew that they were incorrect about the conversation we just talked about with BPU, and they played a recording of Mr. Spann saying, "Hey, this is why I think you're wrong, and you know, this is what I think you need to do." So, and I think also too, I think they work together well as a crew. So I would give them a 4. I'll be honest and say, I don't know how often, if I'm ready yet to save them to my favorites, but I would definitely go back and check them out.
Cool. I'm with you on the points that you made about production, about the energy. Definitely, I love their energy. I like their not only alternative thinking, but willingness to put it out there. There's some shows that I listen to that want to toe the politically correct line all the time. And it's, you can smell the bullshit coming through the microphone, the headphones, whatever. And I like the fact that they will, if they feel it, they'll say it.
Right.
And, you know, they have faith in their audience to know when they're saying things tongue-in-cheek or when they're dead serious about their position.
Right.
And so hats off to them for that. My rating for this show is going to be a 4.75. And they will be moving someone out of my rotation. For definitely sure.
You said they'll be moving what?
They'll be moving someone out of my listening rotation.
Out or in?
Out. They'll be moving someone out.
Oh, moving someone out.
Another show is going bye-bye.
Okay. Very well then.
Right. And, you know, especially with the changes that I have coming up in this upcoming week where some of my listening is going to have to be whittled down a bit anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay. So, you know, definitely hats off to these dudes. Keep rocking the way you rocking. Don't give in to the bullshit. Because there's a lot of it out there. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, what do you always say every show we recap?
Definitely like to invite the gentlemen on if they would like to come on and maybe fill in the blanks on some things that we may have missed about them or their show. Or correct us on some things that we may have gotten incorrect about them. We welcome you with open arms. Come on, chop it up with us and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So that was quick.
That was quick.
So give us a quick minute. We are going to set up who is talking shit with you. We got to get together and compare our notes to see who is going to be talking shit today. Can't just let anybody come on here talking shit.
That's not what we said.
Fuck that. We'll be right back, y'all.
Can I talk my shit again?
Hey crew, this is Can I Talk My Ish? This is Angela D, well, Angela Davis, and I want to say I get my title, pay my car off, everything's working perfectly, and as soon as they send me my new title with no liens on it, my car breaks down. What kind of mess is that? Are cars now only made for 5-year loan purposes only? I'm just saying. But that is all. I just want to get that off my chest. Thank you so much, Queen and Big D. Bye.
Miss Angela talked her ish. As we said, hey man, you don't have to curse. You can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. And I feel that with the car title thing. I feel like they're like automatically, they know.
I'm trying to tell you, it's that computer.
They know.
It's just like the iPhone.
Well, you know what, real quick.
Ask Mark about the iPhone.
Oh, shit, ask me. Real quick, my friend... We were in Philly. She had one car payment left, and this cop hydroplaned and hit us, and ended up wrecking her shit. One payment left. That was the worst. I was trying to be optimistic, like, oh no, they can fix it. Yeah, they totaled her shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, she does have the opportunity to. Well, so, depending upon her insurance company. She can buy it back and get it fixed if she wants.
Well, I guess back then we didn't know about that, but it was just like, oh no, they can fix it. The back of the trunk is crunched up. I was like, oh no, they can fix it. So, Miss Angela, thank you for sitting in. Can I talk my ish?
No doubt. Thanks for all the love and support that you give the IDS network.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you much. It would be nice if we can see some pictures with IDS paraphernalia.
Well,
but
you know,
we respect your wishes.
Right. She's all good, so we're all good.
Absolutely.
So, B, we are at the end.
The end has approached.
Phew. Woo, man.
I kind of feel like we're going to wrap this show up, and I want to go directly into an episode of D2A. But
yeah.
Please,
I already got a headache.
Yeah. I don't know if the headache is from... the debate or from the ongoing mold issues in the studio. Serve Pro is only charging about $1,500. If you guys want to send in for that to not have one of your favorite podcasters die mid-recording.
Oh, shit. Okay.
From mold inhalation.
Welp.
You guys can send that money in.
There's that too. Either way, thank you so much for listening to the show.
No doubt. And shout out to our show review today. No Nonsense.
Yes. Shout out.
Crew. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank y'all for what y'all do.
Okay. If you have any feedback, recaptherecap@gmail.com. If you want to hit us on Twitter, it's recaptherecap. I am Queenine, MS_SmartyPants with a Z.
And I am your man, Big B, looking for that one last nerve of Queenine to pluck.
Oi.
Yeah, I know y'all agree with me. Send it in.
Thank you so much for pushing play, and thank you so much for sharing that you're listening to the show. We really, really appreciate you.